I find it's truly amazing and despicable the degree how Julian's being treated in the courtroom, in court of law, specifically this cage which was set up. It kind of reminds me of the trials of Khodorkovsky, Pussy Riot in Russian courts, or Russian dissidents in a court. And it's just truly reprehensible to the degree where they're making hard time to people who are observing the trial. There was a recently interview with the Linke from Germany, who is one of the observers. They've been complaining that they've been searched all the time. They're not being given a proper access to the position where they can watch the trial. Also, there was a big fight over the editor-in-chief of WikiLeaks being allowed to even attend the trial. It is truly a travesty of justice. But I think first and foremost, what's worth mentioning about the Julian Assange affair is that it is a really truly a defining moment, not only for the Americans, but also for the British as well, to the point where this whole idea of setting somebody up on the Trump on the fake charges, as it happened in Julian Assange alleged rape in Sweden, it turned out to be, also invokes a fake charges which were brought up against Jewish Captain Dreyfus in France in the late 1880s and beginning 1890s during so-called Dreyfus affair. What has happened was it is defining moment was that back then, with the great predominance of the French media, Emile Zola, Jacques, very famous word, which sort of indicted French political system and French elites for a fraudulent and incredibly anti-Semitic and anti-democratic approaches to manipulating of the law, to sort of a self-examination of the Republic, and to have degree of accountability that came later with the political shakeup that followed. I think the same moment is pretty much present here in the UK, specifically on the issues of extradition to the United States. Right now, for Julian, who's never been a spy but a publisher, to face what de facto can be described are there as espionage charges. It's truly troubling, and specifically when it comes to UK internal politics, with the current situation, which is completely unknown in the US, of the demand by the UK government to extradite the wife of the CIA operative that killed a British boy, I think it was 18 or 19 years old.
Sorry, you have to repeat that. What happened last year?
There was a car accident case outside of the British base. One woman whose wife of the CIA operative that works
Okay,
officially
she
with the
killed a
British.
child.
She killed a boy 19 or 20 years old on a motorcycle, and she was allegedly under intoxicated while driving a car. So she killed him, and she was arrested, she was interrogated, and subsequently, within 14 or 18 hours of the interrogation, she was put on a plane and sent back to the US without any kind of charges being filed against her because of the, diplomatic immunity. Apparently, she had diplomatic immunity because of her husband's work. And this has been an ongoing issue in the UK specifically, because you cannot really get a bigger contrast where someone like Julian is being brought up on trumped up charges, as and on the technically he's there for violation of the bail, which is in even in the US, which has a much harder line for bail violation. It's a minor technical violation. It's not something that person can be held in jail indefinitely. But what's even more troubling about this matter is complete silence of the US media on the matter.
You mentioned the US media, Derek, but I was more thinking about the British judicial system and press, because they're the ones who are charging them. And has there any justification being given for why they need to put him in a maximum security prison? He
None.
doesn't belong to a drug cartel or anything like that.
None. He's held basically from the US influence as some kind of terrorist. I mean, this is the, there is the treatment that Assange is getting in the British court right now is reserved for somebody who's incredibly dangerous to the public or a terrorist style.
I haven't been following the British media, have you? I mean, is any opposition to that? The British are the ones who have them in their hands. And the British just got their independence back with Brexit.
That's one of the points that's being brought up with the issues with the extradition and also the sovereignty of the state itself. The British media is extremely silent on the issue as well. He's basically a de facto political prisoner. And unfortunately, Assange is being kind of sacrificed on the altar of personal agendas, and it's and truly despicable behavior. Whatever the outcome of it is, it's an indictment of international media, American media, and also British media as well, that this is not how the journalism and publishers should be treated, and it puts our country on the same footing with, let's say, the same repressions of media that takes right now place in China, where the publishers of the book, booksellers, which were, kidnapped from Hong Kong and then reappeared, let's say, a year later, with self-confessed testimonies on state TV, admitting the, the faults and guilts and what have you. So this is how, our Western media has really kind of devolved itself to this truly despicable state. Another issue is the situation with our state. Specifically, as a consumer rights activist, I've been going after corporations, as you know, many, many years now. The issue is with our regulatory state. There was a hearing in the Congress about the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Congressional representatives from the Democratic Party were grilling the Katie Krenninger, which was the Trump appointee, about complete lackluster enforcement of laws when it comes to protecting consumers on everyday level. Under the previous administration, under Obama, CPFB were able to crawl back about $12 or $11 billion in fines, and produce some kind of degree of refunds to the consumers for overcharges, for any kind of scamming that takes place on the financial industry side. Well, that's completely gone now. It appears that our regulatory framework is truly a fake framework, that it produces a fake outrage by our Democratic representatives because of the fake regulator lack of inaction.
Okay, you're explaining that it's failing, that it's not working, but why?
It's failing because I use the example of the state of Illinois, which is my state. The people who are being appointed by our billionaire governor, J.B. Pritzker, that 2018 spent about $79 million of his personal money to get elected. A year after this electoral victory, the regulatory framework, despite the promises to do better by J.B. Pritzker, actually is getting worse. Hyatt Hotels are Pritzker company business. Hyatt Hotels, international chain, real estate, you name it. The way the politics work here in the state of Illinois is that we, unfortunately, since last two governors, we have became a field play for the oligarchs.
So what is interesting, Derek, is that you said that that's a relatively new phenomenon, just the last two, but money and politics in the US is not a new phenomenon. So what made that change? Why is it different?
I think just the general state of our neoliberal politics and neoliberal economy. The people who wind up being a voting base are more susceptible to extreme forms of advertising, bombarded by different messaging. And simply, people who are working class and lower do not have a time, which is a voting base for Democratic Party here in Illinois, simply do not have time to pause to discern everything by themselves. So, in a way,
So on the one hand,
politics.
more propaganda, more money, and on the other
Absolutely.
hand, people, are you saying people have less time available, less free time?
Yes, to be informed by anything nowadays is becoming a sort of a leisure time of well off because people just simply do not have time to deal with a lot of stuff. A lot of people working two jobs and trying to put food on the table. We are in a situation right now where our government is really not really regulating anything, and I have come to an interesting discovery, which I'll find absolutely amazing. And actually, this might be also concerning Europe as well. If you're buying so-called travel insurance, that it's quote unquote marketed from the United States by American firms. Do you know that I came to very painful and amazing realization that none of the plans for travel insurance, which are being sold to the Americans, not only in here in the U.S. but other places as well, they're not certified to be used in the countries of origin. They're not. And what I mean by this, for example, if you have a travel interruption policy where, for example, your travel is being disturbed or canceled because of coronavirus, the policies would be such that they would require you to go to the local officials, get some kind of statement of health, not only yourself but a company, and something that would be very adaptable and rarely available in the United States or in Europe, but not in those countries of origin. For example, I had a case where I missed a speed rail ticket from one city to another in China due to the accident the taxi had on the way to the train. And in China, as I found out, the train tickets are not refundable, specifically when you don't show up for the train. You have to buy another one. And I found out that they required me to go to Chinese police department to obtain a copy of the accident, which in China is illegal because of their own protections of the privacy. For example, only people who are involved in an accident can get a copy of the police report, not the third parties, something like this. I even did some scenarios, for example, of buying a flight insurance coverage for places like South Sudan or Somalia, which does not actually even have an existing government. That in order for you to get any kind of degree of compliance with the requirements of cl for the claim, and they will sell you the insurance product, knowing very well that you will never be able to satisfy the conditions for the claim. That's why I allege this is fraudulent. For
Yes,
example, they're
so you say there's a new phenomenon that the state doesn't do anything about it?
Yes, there's not even a requirement of any sort to make sure that the products which are being sold to the public are somewhat certified by someone. Consumer Financial Protection Bureau was in the business of basically going after really aggressive financial deceptive practices to make sure that people are not being ripped off like the way they are right now. And that just completely stopped. There's simply lack of enforcement whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean for our listeners, I mean the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, so is that a federal or state authority? Yeah.
Federal. It's a federal agency.
Yeah, so
And I
that
thought,
so is that under the Trump regime then that it's been
yes, it is.
yeah. So what do they
And
actually do then to deconstruct it, let's say?
well, they changed the management. Katie Krenninger is a industry lobbyist, political. They put their a lot of cronies.
She's the director of the bureau.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They like it happens also in Illinois as well. They pe put people in charge of departments who come from the industry themselves, who basically have dealt, who have a basic personal conflict of interest a lot of different cases. And what happens is, in case of CFPB, they're kind of act like a middleman. Like, yes, you can go ahead and file a complaint online, like in my case, like we were talking about last year. Then you get a response of some sort, but it's usually a pro forma scripted letter or form letter, and then nothing really happens.
Yeah,
You
not
say,
of any
well,
use really. Yeah,
yeah,
not
I
taking
mean,
any action. Yeah.
yeah, they will not take any action. And
To end on a different note, the visit of Bernie Sanders. What's happening there
well, we are
near you?
well, Bernie's coming on Saturday. He's coming to Chicago, and he's coming to industrial city, post-industrial city of Rockford, and he's coming to galvanize the public with the message that not everything's lost. That he's able to, quote unquote, get the working and poor of this country forward with his message of universal health care, final economic justice, stopping the abuses of a variety of different economic and political circles and elites.
And how is he reaching his potential audience? That's I think something interesting.
So he's got a very well-groomed and dedicated team that kind of keeps this momentum going. However, there was an interesting interview that happened last weekend. Mr. Anton Gunn, who happened to be a before ex-Democratic Party official and ex-Congress, I believe ex-Congressman representative for South Carolina, gave an interview to MSNBC, which he got a little bit agitated and stated de facto that when I guess being provoked a little bit, he said that at the end of the day, the party decides the nominees, not the public, which actually is true, knowing how the 2016 transpired.
Maybe we should come back to the elections like in more detail next time, in the next week or in
Yes,
2 weeks.
we did, no?
But about this, how many people are expected to be there?
Well, thousands, thousands. This is going to be in Chicago. It's probably tens of thousands, and it's going to be one of those big halls. There will be two. One of them would be in Chicago, which is downtown, and the other one would be in Rockford, which is
Right.
Industrial City 6. I'm going to the Rockford one because I think it's just smaller the better, and I just don't want to deal with traffic and everything. The distance is about the
And what
same.
is Biden doing then?
Oh, Biden is kind of going all over the place. It's kind
So
of hard to
he's
track.
doing more than two visits, or is it, do you know if
Well,
he's also?
he's not coming here for now. Maybe he's going to come later, but I think Biden simply, Biden probably most likely would be avoiding Illinois for the fact that the state has always voted Democratic since times immemorial. So in a way,
And did they last time?
yes,
Okay.
always. We always voted Democratic here. Hillary Clinton won here.
Okay,
State
but
of
now, but
Illinois.
this is about the election between which of the two candidates. So, is it not relevant then for them? Is he confident in losing it
I think
to Bernie?
politically speaking, the biggest point for Bernie is that he's able to drive the turnout, because it's not a truly a game of win or lose like he would take candidates from Biden per se, but the fact is that Bernie has this really incredible charm of making people galvanize about politics, especially millennials and younger, and have them turn up to vote. Well, with Biden, if he winds up being nominated, a lot of people would simply stay home. So what's working for the Bernie first and foremost, not some kind of enter Democratic warfare, but this whole share of numbers that is able to make the people turn out to vote for him. That's it. And it's,
Last
well,
question, really, Derek. I mean, do you think Biden against Trump? Does he stand a chance? Biden, that
not a
is.
chance. It's like once said before, Democratic Party would rather lose to Trump than have the
Yeah,
Bernie
because the rhetoric in the
nominated.
media is really the other way around. It's like you can't
Yes.
have Bernie because he's going to lose.
But with the media itself, it is, they're presenting the narrative and vision of reality that is just utterly bizarre. I mean, I've seen the stuff on the ground in Iowa and other places. Wherever the Bernie shows up, there's not even a comparison of, even a zeitgeist within the crowd itself. It's
But just
sometimes,
to tell you, it's not just in the US, it's also over here that
yeah.
we hear the same message.
Well, the media is controlled by the corporations and the rich and the elites. And the media present their own alternative reality, which unfortunately doesn't match the reality
But
that we live
here we
in.
go, the main medium here still is the public radio and TV. We get a similar message, like it's very much focused on Biden and Biden here, Biden there. And it's also Biden is in the center, and Bernie's extreme left. That's how it's represented. Yeah.
Apparently, in European standards, would find themselves somewhat between social Democrats and Democrats in Sweden, for example. So what's
Yeah,
extreme left?
that's why I'm exactly
Yeah.
that's why I'm a bit surprised that they call somebody who's suggesting a social health security system similar to ours as being extreme left. I understand it that how it's represented in the US, but I find it strange to have it depicted that way over here. Even in the state-owned media, that's my point. Yeah.
That is strange. That is just absolutely not only unfair, but just untrue. I mean, it is that simple. I mean, at the end of the day, some people, like for example, are somewhat attacking Bernie from the left. For example, Bernie's been very silent about military industrial complex.